Well, we've been talking in the background really about commitment to reform. Let's now look at both of these hugely important figures in the context of social and wider reforms when the two men were in power, Gladstone from 1868 to 1874 and then Disraeli from 1874 to 1880. How significant were the reforms which Gladstone's government enacted in the years 1868 to 1874? The answer to that question really depends upon what you mean by reform. Gladstone was no Democrat. Very few of his political supporters were Democrats. They didn't want to turn the political world upside down by giving the vote to anyone who was an adult. That said, Gladstone was acutely aware that his party was in office at a time of very considerable economic and social turbulence, and he saw it as his responsibility to build on reforming legislation in terms of education, social reform, public health, and indeed changes in Ireland, which we won't talk about here, all of which had antecedents, but arguably Gladstone accelerated the pace of change. Before we go on, it's worth, though, mentioning that Gladstone learned most of his tricks as a party leader from Sir Robert Peel, the Conservative Prime Minister, and the man who gave Gladstone his first government office as Vice President of the Board of Trade in 1843. Peel had made his reputation as an administrative reformer who wanted to make things work better. Gladstone was, in that respect, and many others as well, the apt pupil of Sir Robert Peel. And so, as a Liberal Prime Minister in the early 1870s, he enacted quite a swathe of legislation. Administrative reform, creating a new and much more powerful local government board, which took over the administration of the poor law and helped to make it more efficient. The deficiencies, as they were seen, of the British Army during the Crimean War of 15 years earlier were addressed through the so-called Cardwell Army reforms. And in a piece of legislation that's almost forgotten nowadays, the Judicature Act of 1873 consolidated a slew of legal administration and made the law easier to articulate and to prosecute. In a really interesting replay, almost, of the reforms that Robert Peel had enacted in the Home Office, generally in the Home Office in the 1820s. So we have a lot of what you might call, at the very least, tidying up. The purpose of this legislation was to make things work more efficiently, rather than to turn the world upside down. But there were other pieces of reform which the Liberal government enacted, which had a rather different purpose. Forster's famous Education Act of 1870 did not, as many people still think, establish compulsory elementary education, but it was a major step in the direction of compulsion. Its purpose was to make elementary education available to the children of the lower classes, particularly in the towns. The establishment of school boards in 1870 was huge new development. These school boards, which were non-denominational, challenged the previous primacy of voluntary education, which was predominant in the countryside and which was very strongly linked with the Church of England and therefore with the Tory party. So Gladstone's Education Act creates new opportunities, not for children to reach any level if they were well educated. The purpose was not to see them going to the universities of Oxford or Cambridge or anything like that. The purpose was to give them basic grounding in literacy and numeracy, and therefore, at least according to Gladstone's perception of the matter, more effective and more able citizens. In other words, the same idea, really, reform in order to stabilise the country and give more people an effective stake in it. That rather ugly word, stakeholder, wasn't used in late Victorian Britain, but that's the kind of thing I think we're talking about, giving more people a stake in the country by enacting reforms designed to consolidate it.